Good morning, Nashville.
Hello.
Welcome to Uprising. I'm Christy Shea Moore.
And I'm David Ross.
And we are coming at you on what is the last day of 2017.
Ooh.
Happy soon-to-be New Year, Nashville.
Yes.
But we thought that we would bring you some thoughts on the year that was 2017. We have been pondering the last few weeks what have been some of the high points for us of 2017, and so mm-hmm. we share some of them. And
we'll sounds good.
Personal thoughts about what's happened in our lives, possibly also the church that we serve, Bellevue Presbyterian, which sponsors us, and we're grateful for them. And also maybe some of the things that we've seen culturally or in the world of entertainment and the arts that have maybe shaped our years. So you got something to maybe get us going, David?
Well,
or hallmarks for you.
This year I became a homeowner. That's
cool.
Sort of big. Became an adult, I guess.
Yep.
So that was good. I went to Portland and Seattle for the first time over the summer.
Neat.
That was fun. It was much needed. Mm-hmm. Vacay, very cool part of the country. I highly recommend it. Seattle was my favorite. Other highlights. I quit my job.
Not your church job, though.
Not that one.
Thankfully.
No. My day job, I was with a stage production company for 6 years and decided I had enough of that.
So
good company, good products, mm-hmm. like totally, you know, it was an office gig mm-hmm. and it was a good job, but kind of hit a ceiling, had to make a change, albeit a scary one,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I feel good about it.
It's a leap of faith.
I'm happy with that decision.
I would imagine that. So what was the spirit nudging you about in terms of that, to take a bold, risky move?
Yeah, basically, like spend more time devoting to music and like the church and like this podcast and things like that I'm super passionate about, because I felt like pretty spread thin throughout a lot of this year, I guess. So
a lot on your plate.
Yeah, a lot on the plate week to week, and it's like something just has to give at a certain point when you feel mm-hmm. that way. So,
well, that's was brave, and it'd be exciting to see what comes of 2018.
Yeah. So those are my highlights. What about you? What you got, Christy?
Highlights for me were, we got involved with a new ministry in the church, Touchstone, that works with youth in the community. And so we started, I think, with them in April, and it's just been amazing to me to see the relationships we formed with some of these kids.
Yeah, you know, that's a great group of kids.
They really are, and so they come on Wednesday nights, and we share a meal with them, and they have some group time to work on building their social emotional intelligence, and it's a lot of mentoring that happens with this group to help them make good life choices and know that they've got people who love them and are walking with them in life. And so I'm looking forward to the new year as that starts up again. They always take a break when Metro's out for, you know, school breaks. But I'm excited mm-hmm. to see that rolling again. Also, I guess it wasn't necessarily a high point, but it was a significant thing for me this year, and that's that I was in the hospital a couple times.
That's right, you were.
I was. Said goodbye to my gallbladder.
the highlights.
Yes.
In the hospital all year.
Yeah, that wasn't fun. In fact, that happened, I won't forget it, because it happened right when you were buying your new house, and I had planned a party for you. And I could not go myself to your party because I was in the emergency room.
That's terrible timing.
It was awful timing. And remember that night, too? It was like there was one of the worst thunderstorms. And the hospital was on lockdown because there was tornado warnings. And I was worried about who was going to take care of the dogs. I'd also decided to take in a new dog, a foster dog named Angel, who was not so angelic with my other dogs. And it was just it was just this huge ordeal.
It was a crazy night.
It was a crazy day as I was trying to separate dogs to get the ambulance in to get me to the hospital and then to get you to my house to care for the dogs that night and all sorts of stuff.
But, and in the midst of that storm, I also like found, like after the party that you planned, when I left, I found this girl's like cell phone in the street.
Yes.
And then she like called it when I got back to your place and I drove back.
And you went back. David goes back into
the
crazy horrible storm.
To give the girl's phone back. Chivalry's not dead.
It's because she paid you.
She paid me.
That's exactly
why. I needed the money. That's why.
He risked life and limb for what, $40 or $60?
Something like that.
I don't know. Yeah, so there was that. There was, and I really hope in 2018 that I keep all of my vital organs. I guess we can live without the gallbladder, but I'm learning that it does have a function, and so I have to watch what I eat a lot more closely now. Also, after having to have another procedure after the gallbladder surgery, I developed pancreatitis, which was incredibly painful and resulted in another hospital stay, and so I will say that I stayed at St. Thomas West, and I thought the nurses and people that worked there were lovely, wonderful, and I had high praise for the care I got there. And it just brought home to me that we often are not thankful for, you know, our physical health until it's gone.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And then we realize just how important it is. And it also underscored to me, you know, the importance of access to good care, and you know, our country has been debating and arguing, and it's been very politically divisive, but the issues about health care, you know, are important, and so my health issues brought that home to me all the more. So that was one of the big things for me this year. Also went, I was blessed to be able to go to Comic-Con in San Diego again.
Nice.
It was my fifth Comic-Con, and it's exciting. I got into Hall H several times. For those who know anything about Comic-Con, that's the really big.
a bunch of nerds.
It's a bunch of nerds.
Hall H
with like 7,000 of my nerd friends getting to see the Marvel. I got in for the Marvel panel, and that was pretty
that's cool.
exciting. Yeah. I will say that Hall H, the longer you're in Hall H at Comic-Con, There is a definite scent to Hall H and the nerds that have been spending the night.
So who all did you see that you said a Marvel panel, and was that where the Walking Dead panel was too?
Yes.
You saw a lot of cool stuff.
I saw Walking Dead. I saw Game of Thrones. And
like the actors were there.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's
for
cool.
Marvel, they were particularly underscoring Thor, Ragnarok, which I think got the highest rated reviews of any Marvel movie. So one of the Chris's, you know, was there. I was sad that I didn't see Chris Evans, but Chris Hemsworth was there. And also saw a big panel and push for Black Panther, which I'm really excited to see in 2018. In fact, I think I'll try to find a way to get the Touchstone Youth we'll organize a trip out to the movies to see Black Panther.
They might stay awake for that one.
Oh, yes.
We took them to the opera at
Belmont, and it was
a bit of a snooze fest.
I was amazed that they even showed up. That I thought these kids are not going to want to go to the opera, but they were
troopers.
It was a cool thing. We took them to the opera, and I think they were really the Bellevue kids were thrilled that they got to go to Sonic afterward with us. That was their highlight of the opera experience, I think. But
that's always nice.
Yeah.
So how do you think this year was in terms of movies?
I thought it was a great year for movies. First and foremost, Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman finally came to the big screen, and I have been a Wonder Woman fan for a long time because I watched Linda Carter as Wonder Woman on TV when I was growing up. And to think that, I mean, all these superhero movies that have been made in the ensuing decades after Linda Carter's Wonder Woman, and it's taken this long to get Wonder Woman to the silver screen. And they did a great job. Patty Jenkins directed it. Having a female director was amazing. And it's one of the best movies of the year for me.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I was into it.
I'm glad that you went. And I think I saw it. I think I've seen it now 3 times. But just really, really enjoyed it.
I think that's where I first experienced the movie theater recliners.
Yes.
Seating.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's a wonder people would stay awake. with those things.
I think it's amazing you stayed awake in it, but
yeah.
I like to kid David because he misses the ending of movies a lot. That he forgets.
It's true.
You know, or doesn't know what happened in the end.
Because I fall asleep because I'll start a movie at like 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it's like, I guess I'm getting old or something.
I watched that. So Wonder Woman was definitely on my list. There was also, I would kind of list three films that were about the same subject. And so in 2017, I saw three movies that were about the Battle of Dunkirk. But it was in 1940 in the summer, late spring, I think actually, I think May and June of 1940. The Battle of Dunkirk with the Allied forces were fighting and things were looking really, really dark, that they were going to be horribly defeated by Hitler and the Nazis. And particularly that Britain was going to lose so many soldiers. And so I saw a movie called Their Finest first. Their Finest it's a British film that was about these actors who were making a movie or a little like propaganda film that was to inspire the soldiers that were continuing in the war. And then, of course, later there was Christopher Nolan's movie, Dunkirk. And I just, like a week ago, finally got to see the movie about Winston Churchill that Gary Oldman plays Churchill. And I imagine he'll get an Oscar nod for his performance. I love Gary Oldman. He's such a fabulous actor.
He's great. Yeah.
And so we see in Dunkirk, the actual battle in Nolan's film about, you know, how the people were, you know, saved. And then in Churchill's story in Darkest Hour could be like a prequel to Dunkirk, because you see in that how, I mean, Churchill had so much opposition and people in his war cabinet who are encouraging him to make peace and to try to sit down and allow Mussolini to broker a deal between Britain and the Nazis to ratify, have a peace, you know, treaty and save all these people at Dunkirk, because they didn't think there was any way that, you know, that they could win this battle, that they were trapped. And Churchill, he talked to some people, you know, to get how people were feeling. And the last thing he wanted was for the Nazis to take over his country. And so he did some really brave things. But the thing that I didn't know about that battle was that they enlisted so many civilian boats, and they called them little boats. And they were able to get into the beach area easier to help save these soldiers, because the docks were destroyed in the battle. And so Churchill, you know, asked some of, you know, the higher ups in the military in the Navy to enlist all of these small crafts, so individual civilian ships and also ferries. And it was just an amazing story. So Dunkirk and all the three films I saw about it stood out to me in 2017.
Nice. It was speaking to you, huh?
It sure was. So what did you have as far as, did you have some top picks in terms of the arts?
Let's see. There was some good music releases. So I went to a festival over the summer called the Shaky Knees Fest in Atlanta, where my sister lives, and we went to that, and I got to see one of my favorite bands, LCD Sound System, and they put out an album this past year, and it was sort of like not a reunion album, but so they broke up maybe like 3 or 4 years ago. They played their supposed last show on the Colbert Report when that was still a thing. And so, like, and they were supposedly done. And then James Murphy, who's the front man, he's pretty much the band, and kind of announced like, hey, we're still a band, or we're getting back together.
That's
so, which
cool.
Is always like a resurrection of your favorite band is.
That is amazing.
It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he put out an album this, I guess it came out over the summer.
So the track you have for us, what speaks to you about it, and what will you be sharing?
It's called Call the Police, and it's very like David Bowie inspired, I feel like, as far as like the sound of it, and he's very much inspired by David Bowie in that era of music. But it's very much a politically like charged kind of song, or he was probably inspired by the whole Charlottesville riots and all that. And just kind of general unrest among youth. I think that's a theme of the song.
Well, let's listen.
I can relate to some of that. But yeah, here is Call the Police by LCD Sound System.
We all know this is nothing.
That was Call the Police by LCD Sound System. This is their comeback album, American Dream. So you should check it out.
Yeah, that's a new song for me. You've introduced me to a lot of new music, David, and I think I introduced you to new movies and such. But I'm impressed with that song because it too made me think about what happened in Charlottesville when I was paying attention to the lyrics. And I think for me, it's just sort of an interesting connection and juxtaposition to the Dunkirk story, because I think many of us in the United States were just astonished, you know, waking up that weekend and finding out about what was happening in Charlottesville and to see Nazis marching, in a street. And, you know, there were things that we thought we had put behind us and can remember stories of grandfathers and great-grandfathers and, you know, the greatest generation fighting these battles. And we recognize that, you know, that kind of evil maybe hasn't fully gone away, and there's a resurgence of it, and that we are called to also take some bold moves and to be risky and brave and be leaders. And so that's why the Dunkirk stories, and in particular seeing the Churchill story last week, has just inspired me to say, you know, we have these stories to turn to remind us that we are called upon to make a difference, and that people should not be judged by the color of their skin, or, you know, everybody is free in this country to worship as they feel called. And, you know, and Jesus called us to love our neighbors and to love our enemies. And, you know, so to follow Christ is to be brave and loving. And so I think that's a great kind of year-end song to add.
Yeah, there's like that sarcastic line, like, we don't waste time with love. Obviously, yeah, it's tongue-in-cheek.
It is tongue-in-cheek.
And it seems like that's...
But we, you know, we waste time with a lot of things in America. And there's so many things that I think are numbing us to kind of being asleep and not awake to what's happening, you know, and fritter away our time on things that are inconsequential. And so I think it's a wake-up call to remember that love is costly and sacrificial and demands something of us. But I also want to add something that inspired me this year and was a kind of a whole year focus. And I mentioned it some with Wonder Woman, but I think it was very much kind of a year for women, a powerful year for women. It started with the Women's March last January, and I took part in that, which was amazing to be with so many women and to think about women's concerns and how sisters will band together. And then later in the year, we saw the Me Too movement kind of gain traction. These women coming forward with stories about sexual misconduct, sexual harassment, and sometimes even worse stories about ways that women have been hurt, discriminated against. And it's finally seemed to be the moment where it goes somewhere. And I'm encouraged that I think, you know, women are standing up and saying that we too are half the sky, you know, that's a saying, and we are, you know, half the population, and we have gifts and skills and something to add. And I think it's important for men and women that we all be able to give as God has given to us and to give back to the world. And so there's a song that Kesha came out with that I want to play for us that's called Praying, because she has been involved in litigation against someone, a producer, Dr. Luke, that she's claimed has been abusive toward her. It has not gone as favorably in her case, and I sort of was wondering aloud earlier whether, you know, if it had come up later in the year, if she would have had a different outcome in some of her court cases. But she's had a lot of support nonetheless from celebrities and some of her coworkers and fellow artists. So I hope everybody will maybe get something out of this song by Kesha called Praying.
Well, you almost had me fooled. Told me that I was nothing without you. Oh, but after everything you've done, I can thank you for how strong I have become. 'Cause you brought the flames and you put me through hell. I had to learn how to fight for myself. And we both know all the truth I could tell. I'll just say this is, I wish you farewell. I hope you're somewhere praying, praying. I hope your soul is changing, changing. I hope you find your peace. Who I am. No more monsters, I can breathe again. And you said that I was done. Well, you were wrong, and now the best is yet to come. 'Cause I can make it on my own.
Flames and you put me through hell. I had to learn how to fight for.
Kesha and her song Praying.
Good song.
Great song.
It's really powerful.
It's good to hear like the sweet, soft side of Kesha.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not used to.
Probably aren't too many pastors out there with shows that are talking about Kesha, but you never know what the Spirit will do with us. But I'm wondering, you know, from your perspective, David, hearing about the Me Too movement this year and the ways that women have been empowered, you know, how do you feel about that from as a man, as a young man, millennial man, and how you relate to what you see happening among women in the world?
Yeah, gosh. And it is mostly women, but, you know, there, of course, there have been some stories with guys, even in the, as part of that Me Too movement.
That's true.
It's been guys and girls, but I'm just impressed. I'm impressed by, like, how much power there is in numbers and people feeling, like, safe, to be honest with each other, and across such a huge scale, like thousands, if not like millions of people that are coming out with their Me Too stories and will probably continue to. But I mean, we were going to end this show talking about like resolutions. And I think we're going to hold off till the next, till next week. But one thing I was thinking for myself is like, I need more consistent community. It's something I sort of get sporadically and just not on a consistent basis enough. And like, with, I see the importance of community, especially with this Me Too movement, because it's creating like, it's this unspoken power that it gives people when they feel like there's someone next to them that have gone through something similar.
Oh, absolutely.
And they can talk about it. And I mean, just imagine if you felt like that, you know, just throughout the year, or just if you had a consistent group of people you could really be yourself around. Like, it just shows me like how important community is, and we're not meant to hold on to secrets and things and good or bad things in our lives. Like, we're not meant to hold on to that and go through it alone. And I think that's what causes all kinds of mental anguish and anxiety and depression, and is just holding on to too much. And so this movement, it's super inspiring. It's like we're making progress as people, as humans. I love it.
And I love, and I hope, my greatest hope, I think, always for the church has been that we be the expression of Christ's body that he wants us to be, that we, of all places, be a place where people are safe to be who they are and to be loved for who they are, and to have, you know, the full knowledge that they are created by a God who loves them, and by brothers and sisters who love them and support them. And the gospel does, it calls us to risk ourselves and to sacrifice ourselves and put others before ourselves. And, you know, that's why there's so many other voices and powers and principalities in the world that do cause damage to human beings. And so we are calling kind of people back to God and to the church and community and safe and loving community, in all the great diversity that God has made us, and that there are no outcasts in the church, that everybody can be loved and belong. And so we will be talking more, I think, about this probably next week in our resolutions in some ways about community, because I know that's important to both of us. But I hope that for our listeners, as we finish this year, for me, another big thing has been the show and being able to have a kind of new avenue in which to spread some teaching and some sense of who we are in God and how much he loves us. I've enjoyed working with you, David, and finding new listeners, and we love to hear from them. And how can they reach us?
Check us out on Facebook. Just search Bellevue Presbyterian. And the name of the show, again, is Uprising. You can find past episodes on iTunes and podomatic.com. Just look up Bellevue Presbyterian Uprising.
So happy New Year, listeners.
Happy New Year.
In Nashville. Hope you have a great start to 2018. We'll be back next year.
See you then. Peace out.
Peace out.